So do you like social media, this?
I do like it, but it's a, what's called the two-sided sword in English.
Yeah, two-sided sword, yeah.
It has lots of benefits, in my opinion, but it's also dangerous in a bit way, mm-hmm. addictive, to be honest. And I'm happy to show, to hear, and also maybe to get to change my behavior a little bit, like control it
mm-hmm.
in this podcast.
Yeah, you say addictive. I was actually listening to a Joe Rogan podcast where he was talking with a professor, Michael Easter. I think he wrote a book called Overcoming the Pull of Social Media. And he was talking about how, yes, they are addictive, and how he's a professor and he has one class with about 150 students. And the first day he talks about the change in media
mm-hmm.
from the old days to now. And then he asked them, hey, put out your phone. Let's have a look at your screen time. So then someone yells out, okay, who has the highest? And everyone's yelling out, oh, I have 7 hours, 45 minutes. And then someone else is like, oh, yeah, 8 hours, 15 minutes. And someone else is like, 9 hours, 30 minutes. That's like a whole day.
If you compare it to, just to say, a day has 24 days, 24 hours, and you sleep seven, eight. It's a lot of time from your day.
Well, that's like a whole work day.
It is
8 hours. Most people at work like 8 or 9 hours.
But still, if you compare it to before, people were also watching a lot of like television,
mm-hmm.
lots of crap of television, and social media is a bit. It's a new ballgame. It's a new freedom. But on the other hand, it's also, I'd say dangerous on the one hand, if you can or don't know how to control it, at least limit it.
Yeah.
And what are you thinking about having like a social media license? Or limit the age of just start using it?
Well, I know in some apps when you log in it says, are you over 16 or something? But
it's,
I guess,
bullshit, huh?
Everybody can just say, yes, yeah. I'm over 16 or I'm over 13.
Mm-hmm.
I heard like a lot of executives in Silicon Valley, they limit their children until they're 12 or 13.
Yeah,
they will allow them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they block them until they're older.
Yeah.
But I heard Simon Sinek, I think it was. Yeah, I saw a few chats with him.
For listeners, who's Simon Sinek?
Simon Sinek, he's usually...
it's some books, right?
Yeah, he's usually talking about... leadership, organization, HR.
Mm-hmm.
He's always speaking at a lot of conferences and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has a business as well,
mm-hmm.
helping companies with organizational psychology.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I heard him talking about social media and smartphones, and they were just chatting about the dangers of this
mm-hmm.
and also talking about the age, because he's making the comparison with, he's saying that we have an imbalance. So just like alcohol, smoking, or gambling,
mm.
if you have too much of it, then it's not good. If you have a balance or reduce it, then, you know, one or two beers is okay. But if you're every day drinking, then that's overbalanced. So he's saying in society we have a overbalance with social media.
It just came. It just came without any notice of it. It just came and we have it. It's for free.
Yeah.
And we can use it as much as we want. I mean, even if you have to buy liquor, it's somehow limited. You have to go out and get it, or some stores are closed.
Yeah, you need to show an ID. There's more barriers.
Yes.
So to smoke, you need to be over 18. You need to show an ID. Alcohol, I think in the US it's 21. And I think most other countries, it's Germany's maybe 16.
Mm-hmm.
And
depending
then
beer,
Australia's 18.
Depending beer and hard liquor.
Yeah. And also gambling, you're not allowed in unless you're 18.
It is, yeah.
So to get to your question, Simon Sinek was talking about this and saying, hey, we have age limits on this because we know younger people are not developed enough to be able to handle this, this continual dopamine release. And then they'll get addicted. So he's saying that, you know, the dopamine release, every time you get likes and messages and stuff like this, then this is addicting, and you see that now. And I think he's also saying that there's a link between social media use, the increase in social media use, and teen suicide.
He mentioned that. Teen suicide from and unfortunately more girls.
Yes.
Girls doing it from 10 till 14. It's still a young age. It's still a hard young age to get really confronted with criticism, maybe with this also positive feedback loop. If you get a like, especially at girls.
Yeah. Then you want to keep on doing this behavior which got you likes and
exactly have some comments on, and that's a dangerous place.
Yeah, so he is mentioning that you know, there's you can see that they're already trying to do this, but it's not really I think it's really enough.
In Facebook there's an age barrier.
Yeah, there's a button where it says are you over 16 a certain age? You got to put in your birth date, but I'm okay. Pretty sure you can easily just put in your another but age.
I think they know it, right? The developers from there, they know that it's not a very high barrier for teenagers to stop or using social media. They just, I mean,
well, yeah,
they
well,
know it, you know.
They built it like that. Because I saw Jerome Lanier. He's like a Silicon Valley philosopher, and he's actually done a few interviews in the UK and elsewhere where he's saying that social media is ruining our lives. So that's the guy with the dreadlocks and the curly hair and the big long dreadlocks.
Yeah. He's a philosopher, right?
Yeah, so he's a Silicon Valley philosopher. Well, he's in there. He's creating all this stuff too.
Mm.
But he's saying, you know, balance or even... actually, I think one of the interviewers asked him... should I delete my social media accounts and why? And then he replied, oh yeah, there's two reasons. The first reason is for you, benefit of you, and also the benefit of our society as a whole. So,
I mean, look, personally, from my experience, I also got good things from social media. I found very good followers in the sports sector.
Yeah,
they show good exercises, how to do it properly. For example, that's what I'm following, or they maybe motivate me. There's some also like-minded people in that community, or for example, CrossFit. That's also like a helpful way of exchange.
Yeah,
exchange of information, but.
Always a benefit, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm struggling is this overflooding of information. It's about, okay, for example, when I'm using Instagram, most of the time, I go to my saved place where I save some stories or videos, and I just I watch them again and again because they're fun and they're good.
Okay, and, this is exercises.
Exercises.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, this is you're using it as a tool. So that's very good, yeah. But a lot of people, they are the tool, they're being used. So social media is using them to extract their data. I guess everyone's data has been extracted, but you can use it as a tool, like you would use a hammer, boom, 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 hang up your picture, fix everything else, and then you put it away.
Yes.
So I think the problem is that it's the balance is, it's out of balance. We're out of balance with the smartphones and social media. And I think Simon Sinek was talking about it. Jerome is talking about it. The Joe Rogan's podcast, Professor Easter. He was also saying that, you know, you need some downtime.
You need to be able to find the place, find the area where you get all the bored.
Yeah, have a rest. Let your brain have a rest because it's constantly you're at work on the computer, then you're checking your smartphone. And I think they gave the example where they had a study or an experiment where they had one group was just watching somebody folding clothes or ironing clothes with no distractions, just watching. They were bored. Then there was another group which was watching the same scene, but then they had distractions. They had other media distracting them. And then afterwards, the next task was to do something creative, some creative games or something on this. And overwhelmingly, the group that were bored and they were just watching somebody folding clothes or ironing, they were more creative. than the other group, which was distracted by outside media or distractions while they're watching.
The question is WhatsApp also, it's WhatsApp social media, or is it like a messaging tool? I get confused. So, for example, if you get bored or got nothing to do, you can, for example, maybe use the time to write messages back or get answers or something like that, or, you know, try to...
All these guys are saying, yeah, that it's helpful. Like, if it wasn't helpful, we wouldn't be using it. But the balance is out of whack. So when we think about WhatsApp, it's a great messaging tool for groups, like for soccer and stuff like that. You can just send out a group message. Everyone gets the same message. You can just have the trainer or something like this sending out information. Hey, please come around the side. Everyone gets a message. Or training today is at... we will do half an hour extra because the next group is not coming. So then you can send out this messages group.
It's very fast.
So I've used emails and chat before for managing soccer teams and stuff like this.
Difficult.
But when we're scrolling and being distracted, when you think about our work, I think Simon Sinek was saying, if you walk through an office, you can see the younger generation. They have their smartphone right in front of them. They're working on their computers. And then they stop, they scroll and send a few messages on their phone. Then they put it down again. Then they're back at their computer.
It's like keeping up the brain all the time. There's no resting, no just like a chat, for example, with a colleague. And what I'm trying to do, it's turn off the phone or put it on flight mode, and then lock it up in my spind.
Locker.
My locker.
Oh, yeah.
To go there, because it's in another room. So if I go there, I need to go there, open it up, put it off a fly mode, and then use it.
Yeah, that's what I try and do too, sometimes.
It's discipline, and I can't do it all the time. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it's also like very tempting to just leave it there. In the hand reach.
Within reach.
Within reach, and then...
Well, I think some of the older employees, they usually put it to the side. When you see younger and older employees, younger have it right in front of them, or just within reach, where they can just quickly tap it or whatever. And the older ones usually have it a little bit more to the side, and they concentrate on working. Maybe they don't have as many friends or messaging apps or something, but...
Yeah,
that's definitely something... That many have observed.
I like it. I like it. What Tim Ferriss said on the smartphone, of proper smartphone behavior, which also includes social media. We think of us as so much important, actually, as we actually are. So we aren't that important to be reachable 24/7. We aren't the president of a country or
high.
Hype guy for something.
CEO of a company or something.
Yeah, even CEO, I can see they're very relaxed. Like, at least where I'm working there. And so there's no need to be consistently reachable.
So, so I think that's a good tip. Put on flight mode, turn it off, put it in your locker. Those are some good tips. I use them too.
And
what do you
think? What the Jerry Lanier, was it, the thing? We tend to forget more and more the listening, the skills to really pay attention to another person, have a conversation, or really, really actively try to listen to the person.
Yeah.
We tend to just put on the smartphone on the table, and there's a study that as soon as smartphones are on the table, the conversation intensity drops highly.
Yes. I think Simon Sinek was saying that too. Instead of holding the phone in your hand, put it in your back pocket so no one can see it. Or put it away like around a corner or something. And then your attention is on that conversation with your colleague. Or he's also mentioning when there's meetings. It's like, oh, is Bob here yet? Nah, okay. Everyone's back on their phones, head down. Bob comes in, closes the door, and everyone gets off. But he's saying this relationship that you build is built in those small little times between meetings and after meetings. And now a lot of the time everyone's like straight on their phones, walking out, head down. They're not building these relationships as we used to.
They're not also keeping aware of their environment anymore. They're just there, and then they're just, they want to keep being distracted as much as possible in some randomly normal things like riding a metro or even just going for a walk. It's just being permanently distracted in that way, in the individual way. But I didn't know if I ask you before, at the beginning of the podcast, I'm trying it now. Isn't it a bit a good play, social media, a good thing that we dreamed before? Because everyone is able to get individual entertainment and for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the guys that we just spoke about, they all said there's always a benefit. There are benefits. It's helpful. It makes things faster, but the problem is the balance is not right.
Mm.
So, of course, everything you need, you have on your phone. You can watch movies. You can send an email. You can send. You can do a video call. You can do a phone call.
Yes.
You can do everything.
Mm.
But it's this. It's the like Dr. Jordan Peterson said as well. He said the studies show the more people use Facebook, then there's a high increase in depression. Simon Sinek is saying that as well. There's, I think he's saying with teen suicides.
Especially.
He's saying girls 40% more than boys. They use social media 40% more than boys. And over the last 15 years, depression, suicides have gone up.
It's just like, it's just my experience. You also get a lot of comparing yourself. For example, if I get some, like in the sports sector, they're like, guys, they are machines. They're rocking it, and I think myself, wow.
This is also
how
a problem.
How do I do it? And I'm subconsciously comparing myself to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know how to keep distance, but still it's a bit. It takes a bit active focus. Okay, they have different lives. They're, I don't know how, if they have to work a lot, if they.
A lot
of things, you know, that you don't know the person. Actually, you don't know the person.
Well, we have more experience. We're older, and we've lived a life before social media and before all this. But kids nowadays, they've never lived a life without. They don't know what the alternative is. They don't know running around the neighborhood with a tennis ball and trying to play tag.
Mm.
How that life is, they all know is smartphones, social medias. So this is, I think what you're saying is like these guys and also girls walking around posting photos and some could argue, is this valuable or is it motivating for people? But I think this is a problem which I've seen on social media when I was having a look.
Mm-hmm.
Rise of the social media and narcissists on social media.
It's really...
I think we saw before these Black Lives Matter protests,
mm-hmm.
where we saw some people, there was people videoing these people walking along or standing on the edge of the protest
mm-hmm.
march, dressed up in some nice black mm-hmm. dress, and then a friend was taking a photo, and they just had a photo called Black Lives Matter.
He was forced to...
That was another one where his girlfriend... His girlfriend forced him to take a photo of her.
Because it's wrong, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, you can tell.
Like, it's something.
His body language is like, this is so wrong. This is embarrassing. You know. So this is another scene where a girl and I guess her boyfriend.
Mm.
Yeah, she asked him to take a photo of her in front of like a black wall, and she was holding her fist up in the air. And then
just for the sake of the photo, just
They just drove to that area, took a photo, and then they drove off. And another one was a lady jumped out of the car. Her friend was taking a photo. Mm-hmm. She went to ask. I think it was during some riots or hurricane or something. Boarding up a front shop,
mm-hmm.
and then she asked if she can hold the drill and take a photo of her holding the drill and drilling. And then afterwards, somebody was taking a video of this whole scene.
I would be lying.
She's like, thank you very much. Gave the drill back. Mm-hmm. And then she jumps back into her Mercedes.
I couldn't.
So if you go on YouTube, you can see these videos.
Shame.
Social media narcissists. And was there any other? I think there's a few like this. There's like girls in the park taking photos, like in funny different poses. And Oh, another girl was in her sports outfit in front of a shop, which was broken glass. And she had like, I don't know, her boyfriend was from behind taking a photo. So she was just standing there looking at this broken window as if, I don't know what she was thinking with that. Just say that, oh, I'm going for a walk and I saw this. And
I think in her head, there's some mixed story of, okay, they're going to be this much likes and this much kongs. And wow, I mean, to get that. I think that's the reward, something. Why they're doing it, they intended...
Well, I don't know what she wrote in her comments, whether she's like, oh, yeah, I went for a walk and look at all the destruction or something like this. Mm. Or I'm so hot because I got these sports pants on. And so I'm not sure what she was thinking with this.
I mean, they know it's fake, but they're still doing it.
Well, you can tell from the body language, the guys, friends.
I don't know.
Oh, there's another guy with a dumbbell. No, with a barbell.
On a zebra crossing. Yes, the one in the city.
And then the girlfriend, I think, was taking a photo. He was bending down to lift it up, and then someone walked past on the zebra crossing to cross the street. And then she, like, hey, what are you doing? As to say, hey, you're in my shot. So I was... So the world is...
It's crazy.
So this is...
What's TikTok in that way? Like, there, it's like Facebook, there's Instagram. What's new? Like, TikTok is a bit newer. And what's behind there?
Yeah, well, TikTok was... we saw TikTok. I think Trump was trying to ban TikTok. So I think it's originally a Chinese development.
Okay.
I think. I'm not 100% sure. But he was... I'm not 100% sure of everything, but I remember he was trying to... He was attacking the Chinese mobile company, saying that we should have American companies installing all this technology in our companies, corporations, and government agencies. And also, we should ban TikTok.
What's like from TikTok? It's like you. You can make videos.
Yeah, I think it's short videos. And
that videos can be very like viral.
Yeah, and then you got a lot of different. I don't really use that much. I've looked at it to see if I can use it because sometimes when I go to a playground when I'm doing my obstacle, different kind of activities, social cleanups and stuff like this. It's usually the demographic which would use TikTok. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll try and use TikTok and raise some awareness. But I think we saw a podcast where some guys were talking about this and talking about the how culture can be manipulated. Another country can manipulate another country's culture and the way that the perception of the world through manipulation of algorithms.
In that way.
So I think from the podcast they were discussing, if you're one country and you want to dumb down the other country's next generation, in your country you promote engineering, doctors, design, different new innovations, and then in the other culture which you want to dumb down or destroy, you would promote what we see now. We see twerking, dancing, videos. What about this cola bottles and Mentos? It's just a waste. You see all these people just doing things, trying to make a huge, I think they call it a elephant toothpaste, where they put all these chemicals together. People also put Coke bottles. I see people putting fireworks on remote control toy cars.
At least there's a lot of innovation there too.
Yeah. Fun, but. I also see people dropping dropping different items or trying to break so many, having different items to try and break 15 glass panels or something. So I saw this on one YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And so there's all these different things where, you know, some things it's you could say is motivating. Like maybe these challenges like Sally up, Sally down, whereas a push-up challenge. I'm like, oh, okay, this is beneficial.
Or Goggins 4448 challenge.
Yeah.
Which he's launching annually like in March somewhere. And you can choose like Instagram channel. You can follow up other members, community, how they do it, how they're holding up. But that's a bit like motivating.
Yeah.
A bit.
So I think this is beneficial for society and for individuals.
But
then you also got, what's his name? The guy that gets up at 4:30?
Joko Willink.
Joko Willink.
Discipline
equals on Twitter, freedom. That was all this thing. You just post your time when you got up. 4:38, 4:30, 4:28 or whatever. Or he posts a picture of his watch on Instagram to say, I got up at this time and then do a workout.
That's cool. That's really cool.
So this is
motivating. So you're kind of not alone. It feels like, okay, if you're doing it, you're not alone in your bubble. There are other people worldwide who's also like having this like-minded mentality like you have. And that connects.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be possible without social media.
You'd have to rely on your mate who lives around the corner who maybe going to meet you at the gym but then doesn't come, or then you sleep in. But, you know, there's always benefits to all these things. That's why they're used. But we have to get the balance right. I think most people are saying we've got to get the balance right, and we have to watch out for young people.
The balance is that's the elephant in the room. The balance of this highly powerful tool.
Which
is for free. If it's for free, this, and it's so easy to use and it's so fun.
Yeah.
Just go into just pictures and videos, then get some comments, and then you can be a follower. And I think we have to ask ourselves when it's good, when it's bad. I mean,
I use it mainly. Well, when I first moved to Germany, I used to go on holidays a lot because, you know, we can go to skiing in Austria, you can go to Italy, you can go to Spain, go to London, go different cities. So because I'd always be traveling, I used to post like an album, pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my friends said, oh, you're such a narcissist these days. And I thought about that. And I'm like, yeah, like taking a photo in front of like a castle or something. Like, it's a bit show-off. There's no benefit. So then I deleted all my albums, actually.
Okay.
On my Facebook. I deleted all my albums.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I want to share it, but maybe I just share it with my family. So I just create a private, like a WhatsApp group or something, another group on another thing, and I just share photos. So when my brother came here, I would just take a few photos with him somewhere, and I just send it to our family chat. Then I have with some other friends, we have a different group chat, and then we could talk about that. Then we also have another group of friends which have talk about soccer. So it's like a soccer football chat. So you just talk about football stuff. So you don't talk about COVID or any of the other stuff like this. We're just talking about football, talking about the managers, talking about the players, talking about how bad a team is going. And sometimes we can do this live. So if there's a game on like Champions League, wherever we are in the world, everyone can be having a little chat. And maybe this is another episode later on talking about the metaverse.
The metaverse.
So the metaverse could be where we have the VR headsets on and we can...
actually sitting somewhere virtually. But
yeah, so you could be at home with the headset on watching the game.
Uh-huh.
And then we can decide what room we want to be in, kind of thing. What kind of atmosphere do we want in this space?
I think I saw a university or school institution... They're online and they're offering it. So you're in this metaverse.
Yes.
In this virtual campus and you
virtual
go
campus,
in and
okay.
You can go to have different classes, and you also can go to the administration staff, and then you can enter the building and you can go to the room and you have clerks working there.
Okay.
At least that's what the video was showing, but the reality I don't know. I didn't.
I remember 2 years ago, because I read some Gary Vee books,
because
I watched his content, I thought, okay, I'll support him, I'll buy a series of his books, but I remember him talking about these headsets. It's like, for some people, this is a better life than real life, for many people.
Again,
like, when you think about it, you can choose where you want to go, you can go into a different virtual world, already with video games, you can already, there's already a little bit towards this way of going, having a virtual room, you've got headsets on, you're already discussing, you can talk to each other.
Okay.
And you're in this virtual game. and you've already got all these, senses. You've got more senses. You're like, you've got vibrating chairs and stuff like this. And
yeah, some even want to start. There's some startups working on smell.
Yeah.
They're embedded in also in a cinema. Do you have the senses? It's a totally connection with the eye, then with the vibration, and plus the senses. So you have the good feeling.
Yeah, I think I saw that. It's like the machine is, or the device has got like all these different chemicals, and then they mix it to make whatever.
But some smells I don't want to smell. I don't know if you're somehow in like a cereal or something like that. And
yeah.
But I don't agree with like Gary Vee. If it's okay there for some people, but that's a bit of escape from reality. You know,
well, like, there's escapism. Some people, like, at the end of the day, they used to just throw on the TV just to escape. Mm-hmm. And so this again, if we are watching our screens, imagine a headset on where you can go wherever you want. I remember one story where somebody was talking about he put a headset on and he went virtual walking. So on the treadmill for the VR headset on, and then you can choose your different walking trails. So that's, it could be the golf course, could be the beach, could be then you got all the sounds.
Especially in winter times here.
Yeah.
That's a good motivator to continue sport.
And I've seen some treadmills, they're round. It's like a ball.
Okay.
So you're in a enclosed circle.
Okay.
It's got like a bar.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk 360. It's like a 360 walking ball.
Okay.
And of course, you got a safety strap. But I think you've seen online some people playing tennis or something, and they walk into a wall or something like this. But I think they have
still safety. Is it already
developed? Yeah, I've seen someone had it. I don't know whether it was in a...
I saw that it's a 360, this virtual reality.
Yeah, they stand there, they have like it's like being in one of those forklifts. You have a cage around you, and then you just have a treadmill where it's 360, just walk around, and the treadmill just, wherever you're walking, it's like a... I think it's like a ball bearings.
Okay.
So it's like wherever you're walking, if you change direction, you just pivot, and then you start walking this way. So it's like a round thing.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, for people who want to start working out, want to go and don't have the time to go to a club or something, it's a good way. It's a good way of having a good exercise or really
escape. But I think this is more of a conversation for a metaverse. I think there's a lot more people talking about this now. I think Facebook came out a few 2 months ago or something and talking about giving a bit of an overview. I don't think people really liked it, though.
Didn't they change their name to Metaverse or something?
Yeah, Facebook changed to Meta.
Oh, Meta, okay.
Yeah, so it's like the Metaverse. Oof. There's always benefits, but I think we have to always think about the balance and real-life connection. Damn. I think, yes, there's benefits, but we should always try and keep the real-life balance. Because look at these old people. You know, when they go to a cafe, they go to the post office, then they go to a cafe, have a cake and coffee and speak face to face with their friend, how's things going, what's the grandkids doing. During lockdowns, they didn't do that. Cafes and restaurants closed, they were always at home. Then we had, and then also from my own family, going to the flow market and stuff like this. These real life experiences, you can't really...
That's hard, that's really hard in these times. You don't know for how long they're going to continue. And I also remember in my own family, when we have gatherings, the older ones, they're just TikToking, making jokes, but recognize the new one, they're like staring at the phone or having some chat here and there, connected to other people, but not here. And like they're bored, like they don't want to be here. It's a bit...
But I
like side effect or some.
Yeah, going back to this TikTok with China and Trump trying to cancel it and stuff like this. I was actually saying that I think 2 weeks ago I read an article where it was like China's tightening the limits on young online gamers. Mm-hmm. So I think that was in Singapore as well, I think. They're trying to limit the amount of time that young people have. I think they're trying to say Friday, Saturday and Sundays and public holidays, only 1 hour or something. Between 8 and 9 or something. I just remember 1 hour and I thought, oh.
I mean, for people who need to, who can't restrict themselves, they who don't know the danger of too much consume, too much media consume.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I mean, before you had the parents, before you had the television, and the parents told you, hey, it's a television off. It's time to go
pull
to bed.
Pull the cable out at the back.
Yeah.
But I remember when I went to Singapore, maybe even 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Our hotel, and underneath the hotel there was a few shops, and there was a gaming shop. And then people just sitting there, headsets on, nice, comfortable chairs.
Old school internet cafes.
Yeah, yeah, old school, but it's like a gaming cafe. And then you see people with like energy drinks, like noodles.
Noodles, energy drinks, pizza in there.
And like chips or something like this. So they had, it was like junk food.
That is not thinking. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for the brain, it's not healthy for the eyes.
Yeah.
Eye strain the whole time against the screen.
Yeah.
And but on the other hand, the industry is also pushing it. We got, for example, this FIFA, this the games.
Yeah.
They're pushing this.
Or ESPN, I think,
ESPN,
as well.
This e-game, yeah. E-game industry,
mm-hmm.
And they're pushing it a lot.
Yeah.
There are tournaments worldwide, and they more and more they want to go to the. They're more and more in the mainstream, and in the mainstream before. Before they were just, it was like a side factor. They weren't really taken seriously, but now e-games is a seriously.
Well, I think they even have tournaments, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where these guys are playing in a stadium, and then
yeah,
people watch it live.
Crazy, and it's also shown on live television now.
Yeah, live stream. I think they show it too. Oh, on
they're
mainstream
like,
TV.
They're treated like stars. Yes, they're
okay.
Like stars. They're getting interviewed by some moderator guy and.
Yeah, no, I heard some guys are winning like $1 million here,
yeah.
2 million here, and
I also remember 15 years ago there was a game called Counter-Strike.
Okay.
My cousin was very good at it, and he was in a, like some before you need to be like in a group in a called clan.
Yeah.
Then you like have to, like train because yeah, it was like you need to be better and better, and then he was in some kind of. Competitions, but really, really not went that far that he could make money off it.
Okay.
But possibility was there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a good way of living. Well, it's not a healthy way, but it's a good way of living. Playing games, if you like playing games, but I mean.
Actually, I remember when I was doing, I was in company and I was doing training and we're discussing, I think we're discussing jobs or something like this or different jobs or something, and then one guy was saying I think I was training some trainees and there's like 12 of them, and one guy was saying that his girlfriend is at home, so she'll pick up a parcel or something when she gets paid to play games. So people will pay her to play with them, so you have these people who are experienced players. People pay the money to play with them or to teach them or to join their team. So they're like contract gamers.
I mean, you know World of Warcraft?
I heard of it, yeah.
It's a very big world, and you need to pay monthly fee to pay it there, because you have to assist the maintenance cost of the servers and whatnot, and then you get levels. But you need to, you know, the more you work, the more you do, the higher you get, and some even are that much in their level that their story or the person that they're playing is worth a lot of money.
Okay.
And some people that really bored there, they want you like buy them off in that virtual.
Yeah, I think this is like NFTs now. Now you can build up a brand online or an art or something online, and then you can sell it. So like these games, these characters. So someone could create these characters, or you could use these characters and then you could sell it to somebody else. So this is maybe this is time for another podcast.
It's a bullshit. It's not real. It's like you if you being making yourself of a follower of something when you're really like a normal guy. I mean, I don't know what the purpose is. You spending that much time or content only to put yourself in some kind of stage to be something which you aren't. You're just like normally we're normal people, average people.
Well, I think there are military implications here,
because
as we saw
that's a big connection. Okay?
As we saw with the private corporations and stuff like that, mining data, and I think when we look at TikTok and a lot of people are saying, "Oh, it's connected to the military and intelligence communications and." Mm-hmm. We have Edward Snowden saying we have these influences in tracking everything, and then being able to, and now with COVID we're seeing that all these government agencies have something called a nudge unit. So it's kind of nudge you in a certain direction to influence the discussion, to maybe even both sides of the discussion, so to polarize the population. So then if you're thinking about a hostile government or an opposition country to your country, maybe they want to get better than you, so they could polarize your population against each other. So you have the left and right, blacks versus white, gays versus everyone else. Now we see in Australia we have a big battle now.
Minorities with majorities.
So there's always this polarization of the society, and we see that now. I'm vaccinated, unvaccinated.
It's always been this, you know, some kind of like hatred.
Yeah.
Like.
But the problem is we have funding. People are funding these groups, and sometimes it's the same people.
Bad people,
the same like people funding the left is also funding the right. When you dig a bit deeper, and sometimes you see all these websites go up, and it's like some political group and NGO, and then you go onto the pay section or donate, and then you see, oh, it's the main political party. They just made a sub party or a different party. Yeah, it's really funny because a lot of people make videos about it. They're like, just be careful with who you're supporting, because sometimes they're just planted opposition. So it's designed to create an opposition, to create hostility, to create what they call is just... we're just arguing online, but there's no real change in real life. So this is the danger that a lot of people are saying. It's like, hey, people are funding both sides to get us just arguing about... At the end, there's no real change. And people's emotions, they're creating this... it's kind of like a feedback loop where you are...
distracted. It's distraction.
Distraction, polarization.
Unfortunately, it's always been this... Always been. But can I say it's... To wrap up with what you just said, that it's never as easy as now with social media, with plus... We got the normal media, we got the magazines, we got the television.
Yeah.
Plus social media with that.
Yeah.
So I think it's easier than never, because now like people already connected to it as much as possible. Before you need to like turn on the television. If you're lucky, turn on the right TV program.
Yeah, but the right time.
You've got Instagram, Facebook. You got all the information what you got, and
just go to a website, and you can always be updated on the.
It feeds the latest news. It feeds you that much, and most of it is useless in that way. I don't watch TikTok, but it's like a friend of mine has it, and he could have sent me some like the videos.
Yeah,
and I mean it's good to distract. It's good to laugh. You got. Funny people everywhere.
Balance. Speaking about TikTok, what about that guy? I think he got sacked or COVID. His work shut down, and then he started making TikTok videos. And now brands are asking him to do brand deals with him, and he's worth millions of dollars now.
fuck, that's...
And this is a guy, he didn't even talk in the videos. He just watched somebody do a stupid video, like how to cut a banana or how to open the door or something. And then he would... Oh, how to pour water and drink it. So somebody would do something stupid, like pour water into another cup and then filter it and then drink it, spilling it. And then he'd be like, pour the water in a cup, pick it up, drink it. And then he'd be like, just show this is it. This is how you do it, without saying anything. He would just copy the video, but then do it normally.
Good.
So there's like lots of videos like this. So he's this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I mean, we got in Germany some normal persons who become influencers, and you got really good contracts with brands, doing some sporting exercises, even some sporting small programs for people.
Okay.
And but on the other hand, like, social media allows us to really be with people we think we know, but we actually don't know. Like, for example, The Rock, aka Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
He's very active on it, and you can see him like singing or playing with his daughters.
Yeah.
Or promoting some of his tequila brands.
Okay.
But
or his cheat meals.
But also like waking up and working out. And I mean, okay, it's good.
You get to know their personality.
I know his work.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't say personality. I don't like talk with him. You can also get a knowledge of people you know when you talk to him, and then even then it takes time. And but it's...
Well, I think while they're doing their activities, maybe he's promoting a movie, he's also doing stories or maybe sending a little message. When he visits another country, he'll be like, oh, thanks to all those that came out to the premiere or came to watch this our first screening. It's really great that you enjoy the movies, and thank you very much. So you can say little short videos like this, and it's really good because you can, as he goes around to different countries promoting a video, then maybe he also does some promo for some other companies as well. He's also doing, for some movies, he's with Kevin Hart. So I've seen a few of those where, you know, they're bouncing and making funny, like, little pranks on each other and stuff like this. Yeah, so he's got his social media, he's got his. So they're trying to do little pranks and stuff like this.
Two boys, like, having fun. It's, I saw one scene or I saw a video, like, small funny videos with, like, Floyd Mayweather and Kevin Hart. And it was, like, messing, you know. It was just playing around, going to the cold water and Floyd to Kevin, you're not an athlete, man. You're not an athlete. And Kevin, hey, careful, man. You don't want to be like 50-1.
That was when they have an ice bath or something.
Yes.
And he does the interview in an ice bath. It's like Wim Hof style.
I mean, following up on the social media or influencers on social media, it is basically a good thing to also get. I mean, to see, I like this person, and he's also working out. He's legit,
yeah.
Because you have a kind of behind the scene experience, with that.
Because sometimes also on the set, he's also doing quick stories and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So it's not showing the movie, but it's just showing, like, you know, a little behind the scenes. Maybe it's like the catering or something, or maybe somebody dropped something, or there's a goofy something happened. So,
but the funny thing is, okay, the normal everyday people who are not the star or who is not like some kind of who needs social media for their job, to get more. That's the question of...
Well, I think it also helps them with their... It's part of their brand, I guess, now.
Yeah.
Because he was showing his cheat meals, which he has.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started, what is that?
Mm.
And then his chef asked him, can I create a business and sell these as, like, these pancakes? I think it's like...
Okay.
No, I think it's like French toast.
Okay.
So it's called the rock toast or something. So she created her own business selling this, and then she delivers them all over LA or something like this. So this is because people were asking, oh, what is that? What is that? And then she's like, oh, can I do that? And she's like, oh, yeah, no problem. You do that as long as you make the best for me.
Win-win.
So he doesn't want any money from it or whatever. So it's like he's helping her build a business.
Cool.
So I think she's built a business now. She got a van or two and then also does deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
Has even maybe a shop now. I'm not sure.
Cool.
But
cool.
This is just from he hired her to make the cheap meals for him. And then now she's got like doing a business out of it.
Nice.
So
nice. That's a really
only as long as she makes the best for him.
Yeah.
So this is something which I also like during lockdown, people were asking, oh, give us a look at your gym. And it's like, you know, sometimes he makes a video in the morning and it's like, oh yeah, a lot of people have been asking me to, because he didn't show the gym.
Mm-hmm.
He would just stand somewhere where you wouldn't see the whole gym. And he'd be like, oh, a lot of people ask me, show us the gym, but I'm respectful of the situation we have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a privileged position. I have a big house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a benefit from having got all the gym equipment here in the marquee tent. And I understand that a lot of you people, just in your apartments, you don't have this. Mm-hmm. So I feel disrespectful if I'm showing you my gym.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't show the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think he shows it while he's doing his videos.
Yes, but not like all like a bit to do. He's like he's
no, but what I mean is like he understands, like, you know some people are a little bit too high in the clouds, but I think he understands people and he understands the situation. Like if I was in his situation, I probably wouldn't be showing off my gym either, because it's like disrespectful to everybody else who's just in their home doing bodyweight workouts while he's pumping. So I like The Rock.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. He's keeping up like.
So I think this is a positive influence.
Yes,
using social media.
Yes.
Well, just before we go, I just wanted to comment on the use of social media, like in these protests. So in Canada, we have the trucker protests at the moment. And I saw that a lot of them using social media, and you know, this is good to explain, hey, we want non-violent protest. Everybody, please come. You put your handcuffs on. Go. We have lawyers. We can sort this out.
What did the truckers protest?
So the truckers are protesting the mandates.
Okay.
So that everyone has to wear a mask. Everyone has to take the vaccine, forced vaccine. So there's a few mandates that they're saying, hey, we have evidence now
to be on the road.
Actually, I think today they even have they invited all the health officials to a live stream debate.
Okay.
In Canada, in Ontario. So I think that's today.
So trucker protest.
So the trucker protest Canada. Is, yeah. So they were using social media to, you know, to share every day or every few days. They'd have a bit of a, they'd have a few truckers, they'd have the organizing people, they'd have a few doctors there, and they'd just be discussing, hey, everyone, we're doing this, we're doing that. Tomorrow we want to try and organize something at 10 o'clock, so we'll give a briefing about that. So they're using social media to give information. Then they started a GoFundMe page. So they use social media to promote this. Mm-hmm. And then they got $9 million, I think it was.
Lots of money.
Yeah. But then from the background, there was political pressure to stop this. To stop this money going to the protesters. So then GoFundMe said, oh yeah, we can't support this because this is classified as against our rules or something. So we're going to donate the money to a charity.
Mm.
And everyone's like, oh, they stole the money. And then a day later, I think they said, oh, we refund the money back to everyone. But you have to claim the refund. And then they said, okay, we automatically refund it.
Okay.
And then everyone's on social media, oh no, do a chargeback. So that charges them more. So if you donated $1, do a chargeback, that costs them more money. So it's like a battle going on, which is like a total disaster. But this is what I mean by manipulation. We have behind the scenes, we have these people who are, I guess, manipulating social media, manipulating companies to do certain things. You could argue, oh, the protests are illegal, but also some believe the mandates are illegal. But if you say, are these, like, you have the prime minister coming out and saying, oh, these are right-wingers, But then you have social media showing that there's families, there's people holding up signs and supporting this.
It's a lot of pressure, especially in this COVID situation, if you're against or in favor.
But he's under a lot of pressure now. He's isolated now because even his own party are saying, you're lying, but you can't step out and admit it, that these are lying, and we can see, because everyone has a camera these days, you can see there's families there. There's ordinary people. You say right-wing or Nazis, but there's black guys in there.
Lots of countries are the demonstration on, in Germany.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different
Denmark, Sweden open up, and now we'll have to say, time will say.
Yeah.
Time will see how it turns out in the next weeks, next month.
Yeah.
And, well, that's going to be interesting times.
Yeah.
No?
Alrighty, so just to finish off, you know, some tricks I do, Elias, with my social medias, I think you mentioned it before, I turn it on flight mode a lot. I also put it out of the room or the desk where I am.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm working from home, I'll put it in another room and turn it on silent. And then sometimes I also turn it on flight mode. Mm-hmm. And then also when I'm going for a run or doing sports, sometimes I just leave it at home.
Mm. Good way.
Yeah.
Maybe...
Or like you said, you put it in a locker or something as well.
Lockers. So
it's harder to get to.
If it's in reachable head, so it's you're gonna kind of like turn it on and just watch. But if you I put it on in a room where we change and put it on a locker.
Yeah.
That's a bit of distance to create just a distance.
Yeah, yeah, distance and hard to
then
get to.
I deleted like Facebook from smartphone. So
oh yeah, I did that too. Yes.
I need to go to a desktop computer and start it.
Yeah.
Other thing is you can social media. You can put your account on privacy request.
Okay.
So a little bit like
we can also log out kind of thing too.
So
the app's still there, but you log out, so you can't just press it. And
it's a little bit like distant. You need to be do some little bit more steps to active it.
Okay. Even though social media companies want less steps, you can always stay signed in.
And
okay, yeah, I think those are some good tips.
Yeah,
they work. Also, when you're driving, put it in the boot or in the bag. Not,
yeah.
I know a lot of people, they just put it right next to them, or they have a little holder in front.
Like in front of them. It's a bit.
Nah, normally I put it in the bag, and if I need to look up somewhere where I need to go, I usually look up on the computer before I go or on maps.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll...
Old school way.
Yeah,
old
school way. Then it's I'll, training, from memory, just drive there.
Training also the brain to coordinate, to go to a how to work out through a map.
Yeah.
Something we also tend to forget. And try to... I mean, if you're consuming social media, try...
Get the balance right.
That, try not also consume all the time. Like maybe you can reread something. Rewatch something.
Yeah.
Don't leave like watching every time everything new or there's.
Or scrolling or.
Yeah.
Maybe not using.
Like exercises, they're good to be re-seen, rewatched.
Alright. Alrighty, I hope you enjoyed the chat and we'll chat again soon.
Yeah, next time, next topics.
Alrighty, ciao.
Ciao.